You are at this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. My name is Dan and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm your chairperson for this morning's meeting. So let's start, as we always do, with the serenity prayer. So if the people in the studio would like to join me, that'd be great. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Okay. So what I'll do now is I'll start off by reading the AA preamble. Now, that's normally really the beginning of AA meetings. So Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. They're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And in the studio this morning, we have a group called Living Sober, which was my home group for a number of years, so it's great to have everybody here. So what we'll do is we'll just go around the room and share our experience, strength and hope, a little bit about our own individual stories as it relates to alcoholism. So let's kick it right off. Bex, I'm going to move the microphone really close to you, and would you like to share?
Thanks, Dan. Kia ora, I'm Bex, I'm an alcoholic. So I guess start off like most of us do with what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I've been sober for about 19 and a half years, which is a miracle. But I never thought that would happen. In fact, when I first came to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was, metaphorically anyway, drugs, kicking and screaming. Didn't think I really had a problem with alcohol. I knew I had a problem with something. Life, I think. So I discovered alcohol as a solution to my problems when I was about 16. I just had a new Christmas dinner and wine was going around and I was drinking it and not eating anything. And found that the sort of noise around me and in my head just kind of shut off, like turning off the radio. It was just always a lot of chaos in my family, especially around holidays. And it was quite magical. And so I basically, in a nutshell, chased that feeling for the next 15 years or so, trying to access that, that peace, that, from from all the chaos and drama and, you know, internal sort of turmoil that I had collected over the years. It never was quite the same again. And for quite a while, I didn't really get into much trouble. I mean, I had periods where I would drink and black out, and other periods where I would drink and not black out, and I was quite proud of how I managed to manage things, so I never got hangovers, or rarely got hangovers, and didn't get caught for any illegal activities. I say caught because I certainly did some, but so I think when I was about 24, I, for a variety of reasons, I started having some issues in my life, mainly with relationships, and had a friend who was an Alcoholics Anonymous, who I think was very subtly trying to impart her wisdom to me and suggest that maybe I had a problem. And I thought maybe I did have a problem, but not enough that I could go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I did go to a few open meetings being ones where people who don't identify as alcoholics are allowed to go and sit and listen. I went to a few meetings with her and didn't really identify with her story, but thought it was a great thing that she was doing. But yeah, I thought maybe I should go. I actually ended up going to another 12-step program to help me with my difficulties with relationships, and thought that maybe it would be a good idea to try to stop drinking, which I did successfully for actually a couple of years. I don't think it made me feel a whole lot better or function a lot better, because it turns out that I took the alcohol out of the equation, and all that craziness that I was medicating was still there. I ended up getting into a relationship with someone who really liked to party and drink, and that person convinced me to start drinking again. It didn't take a lot of convincing. Basically, I thought, oh, I've been drinking for a couple of years. I proved I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a problem. There we are. So I did that, and then things just kind of got worse and kind of gradually went downhill for the next 5 years or so. I was studying. I was achieving really, you know, quite highly in my field of study. I don't really remember my graduation party or, you know, we had a big, you know, sort of class ball or something in Canada. And I don't really remember much about that. We, you know, friends of mine and I got together and drank beforehand and went to it. Inebriated, you know, just to make sure that we could manage. Well, I don't know why they did it, but I think did it in many cases to sort of manage my awkwardness and uncomfortableness, discomfort, I guess, with those social situations. But when things really started to go bad is when I started working in a, you know, sort of in a postgraduate program. And it was really stressful. I was working over 100 hours a week, you know, often not sleeping. I couldn't manage the stress and anxiety without coming home and pouring myself a glass or two of wine in order to cook dinner. I kind of went from being a binge drinker to a daily drinker, daily with binges in between when I had a chance. And I couldn't manage my life without alcohol. And then some things happened in my personal life which just threw me for a loop and sent me right into, you know, sort of another phase of the drinking, and I quickly became really depressed and really suicidal. I'd been depressed and suicidal in the past. In fact, you know, that was one of the things that I was trying to manage with the alcohol. But as many people know, alcohol is a depressant. It doesn't help depression. It makes it worse. So it became kind of a vicious cycle. So to sort of try to cut to the chase, I became very suicidal and ended up in a lot of psych ward. Getting there without actually being committed against my will was sort of an act of providence or a higher power, if we like to say in Alcoholics Anonymous. I wasn't planning to tell anyone, but I was on my way to see my therapist and just kind of, you know, make it seem like everything was okay and then go away and do my thing. I had been going to psychiatrists and collecting pills. They'd give me pills and I didn't take them, or I'd change pills and I'd have this collection. Anyway, but somewhere on the way, I just got this massive sort of message out of the from the universe. It was like I'd been hit in the chest, I think it was, where, you know, this voice that said, you need to tell her, you don't want to die. And I was really shocked because I had been wanting to die for months. Like, really? No, you don't want to die, you need to tell her. And I did, and she said, are you willing to, you know, go to hospital? And I said, well, I'm not, but I guess I need to be, because I just kept this message. I mean, I actually believed in God, and so I ended up locked up, and it wasn't pleasant, it was actually quite traumatic. But I guess it's what I needed. And from, I'd actually not had a drink for about a week when that happened, which is another story, which I won't go into at the moment. But, and I was in withdrawal and having obviously hallucinations and whatnot. Went to hospital and she was obviously not drank well. I was locked up, and then I ended up sort of, they discharged me, but to sort of a non-lock inpatient program. This was in the States, and put me in this substance abuse group, which I was very puzzled with. How did they know, or why did they think I had a substance problem? I'd have to, they'd say, okay, introduce yourself and say what your drug of choice is, and, well, my drug of choice is alcohol for sure, and I tried other things, and they just didn't really do much for me. I was encouraged to go to some Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, which again, I didn't relate to. And then I went home and told my therapist that, I was all better. And what I really wanted to do at that point was have a drink. And she sort of looked at me and kind of puzzled and said, well, don't you think that's stupid? I don't know. I don't think you use that word. But anyway. after all you've been through, don't you think that might be a problem? And I'm like, well, I don't know. So she suggests that I go to AA, and just made the best suggestion. I've heard it many times. Other people being told to sit down and listen and try to relate to things instead of, sitting there and judging and, feeling all the things, all the ways that I'm different from everyone else. So that was a really good piece of advice, because I did go, and we have traditions in AA, and the third one is the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. And I remember seeing that, I think, the very first, or it was in the preamble or something, the very first meeting I went to, wasn't the first meeting I'd ever been to, but that first meeting, thinking, I don't have a desire to stop drinking, but I know that if I don't, probably a lot of the things I've worked for in my life are going to go away, and I'm not going to achieve what I want to achieve and things like that. So I kept going, and I was told that was enough, and basically found in Alcoholics Anonymous, eventually found that there was a program for living that would eventually give me the peace of mind that I had been seeking by drinking. And I found that because I looked at other people and I saw that they had it, and I heard somebody say, if you settle for your, that they had heard when they first came in, if you settle for your wildest dreams, you're selling yourself really short. And slowly I worked these steps, and I went through sort of the self-searching and digging out all the, you know, resentment and pain and fear and everything in my life, and confessing it and making amends for all the people that I'd harmed. And, you know, things did get better. A long time in sobriety, I was in a destructive relationship, and I don't want to go into the details there, but Alcoholics Anonymous, the support I got and the, working through the suggestions and the tools of this program helped me to survive that and eventually helped me to get out of it. And I thought I had really reached, you know, some great, you know, made some great progress. And I got out of that relationship, I did the steps again, and I got to a place where I just felt really good. It's like, I'm happy on my own, and I just found myself and whatnot. And then, you know, a few months after I started really feeling that way, I ended up coming to Wellington. I was living in the South Island and coming to Wellington for a convention and met another member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and very quickly we fell in love with each other, and like all of a sudden life is even way better than than I could have ever imagined. And it's been, well, we got married a week ago. and yeah, it's just been amazing. The gift of this program, and I have so much has been given to me that I can only thank Alcoholics Anonymous for. The things I do today, and I wake up in the morning, I say, you know, thank you to my higher power, say some prayers, you know, God help me to stay sober today, and you know, there's some prayers that you know, what I've learned in this program. One of which is the Serenity Prayer that we said at the start of this meeting. And as I go through my day, I try to, ask God to help guide my thoughts and my actions. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I sponsor people. I have a sponsor whom I bounce ideas off of and try to use to help keep me sort of on the path. And I help others, and I do the steps, particularly the taking daily inventory of what I have done. Some people suggest writing it down. I don't always write it unless I'm really in pain, but I do it mentally and try to make amends for, you know, things when I've done wrong. And one day at a time, I don't pick up a drink. And I try to do all these things to keep myself on the path that I know I need to be on in order to not slip into those feelings and thoughts and resentments and fears that made me drink in the first place, because I didn't want to go back there. I'm really, really aware that that is not a path I want to go back, to return to. So, I think I'll let somebody else go now. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Steve. You're listening to Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, and this is Alcoholics Anonymous Meeting on Air. And we've got the Living Sober Group in here this morning, and it's a meeting that's at 5:30 on a Friday at 61 Hopper Street. There's a little meeting room as part of the Life Point Church. I'm not sure they meet up every Friday at 5:30. And they normally, the group normally reads a book called Living Sober. And what I might do is just read, I probably should have done it at the very beginning, because that's what happens at the beginning of that meeting. They read a little bit called about that title. So I'll just quickly read it now, and then we'll carry on with the sharing. So, this is an excerpt from Living Sober about that title. Even the words stay sober, let alone live sober, offended many of us when we first heard such advice. Although we had done a lot of drinking, many of us never felt drunk, and were sure we almost never appeared before sounded drunk. Many of us never staggered, fell, or got sick times. Many others were never disorderly, never missed a day at work, never had automobile accidents, and certainly were never hospitalised nor jailed for drunkenness. We knew lots of people who drank more than we did, and people who could not handle their drinks at all. We were not like that. So the suggestion that maybe we should stay sober was almost insulting. Besides, it seemed unnecessarily drastic. How could we live that way? Surely there was nothing wrong with a cocktail or two at a business lunch or before dinner. Wasn't everyone entitled to relax with a few drinks or have a couple of beers before going to bed? However, after we learned some of the facts about the illness called alcoholism, our opinion shifted. Our eyes have been opened to the fact that apparently millions of people have the disease of alcoholism. Medical science does not explain its cause, but medical experts in alcoholism assure us that any drinking at all leads to trouble for the alcoholic or problem drinker. Our experience overwhelmingly confirms this. So, not drinking at all, that is, staying sober, becomes the basis of recovery from alcoholism. And let it be emphasized, living sober turns out to be not at all grim, boring, and uncomfortable, as we had feared, but rather something we begin to enjoy and find much more exciting than our drinking day. We'll show you how. So yeah, that's a little reading from the book of Living Sober, and it's sounds of caring. Matt, would you like to share?
Sure, thanks, Dan. Hi, I'm Matt, I'm an alcoholic. Hello. I'm really glad that the very first meeting that I actually ended up going to was Living Sober, because I heard about that title, that reading that game is there. Right off the bat there, after everybody sort of introduced themselves and everything, they read about that title. And I'm glad I heard that first, because for me, my drinking, certainly times that I've stumbled and slurred and things like that, but for the most part, I don't think my drinking got to the depths that it could have. You know, with hindsight, time having been in the program, I understand that, like, if I spent more and more years indulging my alcoholism and just drinking, I don't know where I'd end up. And I don't really want to, find out through experience where I'd end up being. So, but my drinking to me was characterized by being like a jolly drunk. I would like, I liked the high and the extrovertedness that drinking tends to give me. I really was like an angry drunk or a highly, it didn't seem to make me upset. It seemed to make me, I'd use it to go out to parties and to talk to people and to just talk and talk and talk. But, and I never jailed a drunkenness, I never hospitalized the drunkenness. But all that being said, my life was unmanageable. It was getting more and more unmanageable. I couldn't not spend my money on alcohol. Down to the last $17, I couldn't not spend, most or all of that on, two bottles of Shrumpy or something, rather than, let's just get some baked beans and survive the week or something. On a student budget, I just couldn't not buy alcohol. I'm very much struggled with having any kind of off switch with it. I recognized myself pretty early that even though I didn't seem to be outwardly being dipped when I was drunk, I recognized pretty early that alcohol was a problem for me. I pretty early started recognizing that I was using it like a tool, and that the other people around me weren't using it that way, and pretty sure you're not supposed to do it like that. I did theatre and acting and all when I came to Wellington, I got into this, I had an audition for this, youth theatre company. And I was like, oh my god, I'm getting into this theatre company, it's really cool. It's like, I have a real cult status amongst the youths in Wellington. and holy shit, you know, I've got to be good. I want them to like me. So I had a glass of wine before the audition. I got a call back. It was great. It seemed to go well. And that worked. So when I got my call back, I had a glass of wine before the call back. And that also seemed to go well. But I found it weird that when I was going to these rehearsals for the theatre company, in contrast to what I'd experienced, I guess, socially in Wellington at that point, where I felt like I was able to get along with people really easily and like establish a rapport and feel liked and feel popular and stuff. In this theatre company, I didn't immediately get that. I didn't deal with the people quite as much as I wanted to. I felt a little like they were the in crowd and I was the out crowd. And the alcohol had worked. So what I ended up doing, I don't remember when I actually started, I don't remember what doing it for the first time felt like or when it happened, but I, like, it started with me drinking like half a bottle of wine before rehearsal. I guess it would have started with, another glass of wine, but, you know, it would have been that sort of like, you know, like drink half a bottle of wine out of the bottle. And semi-compromising places like public toilets. It went from like, oh, you can have a glass of wine before doing things to like, you're not supposed to do this levels. And I would keep doing that. It kind of worked in a way because it was, it's acting, so it meant that I got to do like bolder kind of stuff. I don't know if I embarrassed myself. That probably also helped, because I didn't have to worry about it because I was drunk. And the half bottle of wine would become a full bottle of wine, and I couldn't fucking stop myself. I remember I got to this desperate point where I called a friend after like a week of doing this, and like, I don't know what to do, and I think I'm an alcoholic. And it took me from there, like, 2.5 years to realize that probably means I have to stop drinking. So I spent 2.5 years being like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, I have a problem with alcohol. I'm sure it's just going to fix itself one day. And I'll just be able to manage it. And that never really happened. I remember trying to quit for 2 weeks, right? I tried to not drink. And those 2 weeks, I was just wringing my hands and fidgety and just like, and the thoughts I had too, they were worse than when I was drinking. The thoughts I had were like, I don't want to just like go out there and like have a party and drink some scumpy. I want to go out there and obliterate myself. I feel fucking terrible. And that was just 2 weeks, it was 14 days. I had like, I'm bitching to people about the party. still at parties and like trying not to drink and seriously hacking Gary. So the logical next thing was to keep drinking. I got into the rooms eventually through the push of a partner at the time, which is amazingly fortunate because as much as I had this like idea of myself as a really nice guy who liked being really sociable and going out to parties and stuff when I was drinking, I was terrible in relationships. Like, I was a dick in relationships and stupidest things, like turning up to ex partner's places at like 3 in the morning outside their window, shit, but I got the like a really frank, I guess, appraisal of like drinking isn't supposed to be like this from a partner who said like, why don't you go to AA or something, and I'm really glad for that because that was just the right time and the right place, I hear a lot when after coming to AA that it doesn't work, like if the body won't work and it won't stay if you're not doing it for yourself, like if you're doing it for somebody else, you just need to displease a judge or please a partner or your family or whatever, your employer, that's probably not going to work eventually. If you don't want it for yourself, it's that shit. But I'm fortunate that I guess just, you know, whatever mental state I was at the time, with this partner, they just had a very, very frank and noble sort of appraisal of my situation, and I was willing to try to do something different. So I'm really thankful for that. And I got to talk to a friend and I was here now, which is I'm really glad that I was able to come into the room and to have them be there too, and to kind of like hold my hand a little bit and take me to my first meeting. I'm really thankful for that. And I've not had the wonderful fairy tale of a life that I, you know, would like. I've got an 18-month support in my job, but like 2.5 months ago I had a relapse, and then another relapse. So right now, I'm just sort of 3 weeks sober. That's a whole story in itself, but today I'm good, and this week has been good. And I'm just trying to keep it nice and simple, like just get to a meeting. I've been able to go to a meeting every day this week, which is obviously really good. That's the thing that I need right now. And it's really nice knowing that there's, you know, somewhere in town and different places in town where not just a group of people that I can go and talk to and not have more like life in my taste to them. And I can hear their stories too, and people share the weirdest stuff and the most like generous interesting shit in AA. So right now I feel like a bit of the fog of the last 2.5 months has been lifted a bit. And I'm really happy to be in here this morning about a share on it as well. So that's my little story for today. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. This is Running Connections Radio, 106.1 FM, and listening to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air. Now, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, has its own website in New Zealand, aa.org.nz, and on there, there's the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, and also lots of other information. There's a way to access meetings, so on the website, aa.org.nz, if you hover over meetings and go to print meetings list, then that brings up a big list of meetings. The default is Northland, but obviously you can select Canterbury, Otago, or Wellington, or wherever you are, and it comes up with a list of meetings in your region or in your area. Now, also from the same place, meetings, there's also meetings on air. So if you click on that, it brings up a long list of these radio shows and other ones which are produced out of other cities and towns in New Zealand. There's some there from Auckland. So, if you like what you hear and you want to hear more, then aa.org.nz, and then go to meetings and meetings on air. There's also a free phone number to call for Alcoholics Anonymous. That's 0800-229-6757. That's a nationwide number, so if you call that number, chances are you'll get to speak with a sober alcoholic who can talk to you about your own drinking, just give you some guidance as to where the meetings are, or just general information. So yeah, so that's a little bit about Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, it's time to share. Victoria, would you like to share?
Thanks, Dan. G'day, it's Kifama. My name's Victoria. I'm an alcoholic. Awesome to be back in a meeting. You guys can't see because this is audio medium. But I'm just grinning ear to ear today, and I always say I'm grateful in meetings, even if I'm not, because I think, you know, fake it till you make it. But today I'm genuinely so happy to be a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, because this place has truly saved my life, and I really relate to what's been said so far about not really feeling like I fit in anywhere, or even when I'm doing my best, still feeling quite uncomfortable in any group, and yet AA is a place where I just found my tribe, you know, I just feel comfortable, because I can make myself so uncomfortable. Like, I just, as an alcoholic, my thinking is insane, you know, I'm so hard on myself, like, I can convince myself I'm doing a bad job at being me, you know, like, You know, it's just everything under the sun. Like, I'm not attractive enough, I'm not a good enough student, I'm not good enough at being married, I'm not good enough daughter, you know, like, I'll just tell myself all this stuff, and it's intense, you know, and I relate to what's been said about drinking was a really good way to just kind of dull that stuff out, and it worked for me for a really long time. And I've said before in these rooms that for me, when my drinking became a problem for me, it became a problem for other people a lot earlier than that. But when it became a problem for me is when it stopped working, because I didn't really stop because of the consequences of my drinking, because, you know, from my track record, I was pretty happy to hand anything over to alcohol. You know, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is kind of the text you use, and it's awesome because it's just these two, you know, bottom-of-the-line alkies that managed to get sober by some miracle and then have passed this program on to us, which is awesome because it's not some doctor kind of or someone who is well-meaning or someone who you see like doesn't get you and they're like telling you to suck it. This is, you know, people who have actually been there and you read it, and even though it's from the 1930s, you know, when I read it, I went, oh my goodness, this is my story, like these guys are me. In that book, it talks to us about, you know, what an alcoholic is and isn't, and it describes the heavy drinker who, you know, when given these huge consequences, you know, when something that the risk of losing something, they'll pick the thing over the alcohol. Well, I always pick alcohol. Like, there is nothing that would win. You know, like university, jobs, partners, family relationships, housing, my sanity, the last bit of dignity, like, it was, you know, it was all to go. It was, you know, all things, all must go. Anyway, I laugh about it, but it was really dark, hey? Like, it's been mentioned, you know, institutions, and, you know, I really want to stress not everyone's story. It's the same for me. You don't have to get back. You don't have to end up, you know, in hospital, you know, locked up bloody inpatient psychiatric hospital in New Zealand to be an alcoholic, but it still does help if you're not around alcohol for a few months, because I was really at the point where I couldn't not drink, even when I wanted to. I was quite young, I was in my late teens, and I really knew that I couldn't keep going like this, but I just could not stay away for more than a few weeks. So I was actually, I felt a sense of relief when I was put in a position where I physically could not get access to alcohol. That was what, for me, was necessary. You know, all the people who come up just off the street, you know, hats off to you. But, yeah, for me, I'm very grateful that that was, you know, my personal experience. And, yeah, also, I suffer with outside issues. And, I try not to talk about it too much in meetings. But at the same time, of late, I've realized it is a huge part of my kind of drinking story and also my recovery, that I do have bipolar disorder. And I don't know, I just want to share it sometimes because, for me, like working the steps, it's always been kind of like I realize now, because I had a relapse in March. Sorry about the meeting last time, I kind of said that, and then, oh, I was going to have a class. So yeah, sorry about the cliffhanger last time. But I had a relapse in March, and I realized after that I left my mental illness as kind of a back door, both in terms of inaction and also a lot of shame. I convinced myself that I wasn't good enough for this program, and I was one of those people, like, how can I be restored to sanity? And I also used it as an excuse for a long time, you know, let's be real, like, this stuff is uncomfortable, I'm an alcoholic, all I want to do is drink. So if that was, like, a good excuse, like, oh, I couldn't possibly take this action, or I couldn't possibly go to a meeting, I'm ill, you know, then I was going to do that. And, you know, I had some great continuous sobriety in this program. And AA has given me the most amazing things, like the ability to be who I really am, the ability to work, the ability to love, the ability to go back to school. I've been able to travel safely in AA, you know, meet awesome sober friends in Germany and New Caledonia, you know, just like all over the place. And yet that wasn't enough to stop me relaxing, because, you know, as has previously been said, like, as alcoholics, I feel like my experience is I only have two options, either drink or use the steps. Like, that's all that works for me. So when I'm not working the steps, it doesn't work for me. And yeah, I was just at a point where some stuff came up in my life, and I either wasn't willing to, I think it's probably more likely, or I couldn't work the steps on it. It was painful, and I just wasn't willing to work the steps on it. So then I just drifted away from meetings, isolated myself, and got to a place where I was so uncomfortable and so lonely and so overwhelmed that when the opportunity to drink presented itself, you know, there was alcohol when I came home one day, I had no mental defense. I didn't even think about it. And the crazy thing is, I didn't think about it until the next day. Like, I didn't even realize I had drank until I was at a meeting the next day and went, oh my goodness gracious, like, I picked up. I'm one of those people that realized that I had so much shame. And the last few months haven't been easy. I'm 4 months sober now. And the first couple of months, I was fighting. My sponsor will tell you, I was fighting so hard. And it was because I just was stuck on step two and three. You know, I didn't believe a higher power could restore me to sanity because I wasn't good enough. I was trash. This program clearly hadn't worked for me. I failed at it, and it wasn't going to work. So what was the point, you know? And I just had so much shame. I was just so ashamed. And I wasn't able to move past it for a while, a couple of months. But what I was able to do was, when I made the decision to hand my life over and go, I am going to stop fighting and actually get involved and surround myself with the people in the program and hand my life over. Like, you know, I'm not religious, but I believe that there is something bigger than me, because if this is it, I need to be saved. You know what I mean? Like, please tell me there is a higher power. I need it. I don't do well when I'm running the show, so please, someone take the wheel. I was able to pray a lot and learn to get past that shame, you know, and I just love that. You know, I have a pretty low opinion of myself sometimes, so the fact that my higher power and my fellows in AA just love me so much, that is what got me through that. And then with step three, you know, that's where we're required to come to believe. No, it's not. Can someone remind me? It's something about taking action. Oh, no, that's a whole in our life over. And that, you know, my sponsor reminds me that that's an action, that is an action step. They say the first three aren't, but they really are. Like, I need to show up. Even if I don't care, that I actually have to participate, because luckily in this program, I don't have to trust my head. I just have to trust my feet. You know, I just have to do the action and hope that my brain will follow along behind. And it's worked for me in the past. That's the beauty of relaxing, is that you've already had the experience of being sober. So it's not, sometimes it can be harder if you have all that shame and kind of preconceptions like I did, but it can also, you also have that gift of knowing kind of what's coming. Like, you know it's going to work. You don't have that fear of, oh my goodness, I'm giving up my best friend and I don't know what's out there for me. This is terrifying. Is it going to be Ginger Beer in Coronation Street and going to bed at 8 p.m? I can't do it, you know? I went sober clubbing in Berlin, guys. Like, it doesn't have to be boring. So it's awesome to be here. Awesome to be sober. Good to be with my friends. I guess I wanted to share all of that to say that, you know, people with alcohol issues, it says in the big book, like, this can work for anyone if you're willing to be honest. You know, you are good enough. There's no one too bad for this program. And if you have relapsed, or if you've tried to be sober and you just haven't been able to do it, or if you've come into the program and you've gone back out for whatever reason, you can come back. Seriously, I always think that, like, if you're not dead, it's never too late. And you know, like, we just love you so much. Like, I don't even have to lie to you. I do. I love everyone in the program, because, you know, like, they save my life and they keep me sober and alive, and it's pretty good, you know, most of the time. So thanks for having me.
Thanks, Victoria. Okay, this has been, you're still on Bellamy Access Radio 106.1 FM, and this has been Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on air to the Living Sober Group, and today it's been a really good meeting. So, what we'll do is, I'll just quickly run through the contact details for AA again. AA.org.nz is the website, and the phone number is 0200 229 6757. And if you like us, have a look at AA on your Wellington on Facebook. And yeah, you can like us on Facebook if you want to. Or send us a message, which we may read out one day. All right, let's close the meeting. If you'd like to all join us, that'd be great. And we'll say the serenity prayer. God, grant you the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. With your voice heard.
Thank you, John Bonnier, for funding the Access Internet Radio Project.